wave of water that came through the village, killing 35 people. Weather manipulation. It's been going on that long. They have strontium, they have barium. It's acidifying water, it's acidifying the land. The ability to generate precipitation, fog, storms on Earth, to modify space weather, and the production of artificial weather, all are part of an integrated set of military technology.
They're spraying chemicals in nanoparticle form. The government is using HAARP to be starting a storm. The water shortage is a topic they're complaining about, but they don't even want to stop it. They're creating the drought. Planes now make clouds when they spray out shit. You can see it because it happens every day now, kid. You can read the patents and see what they say about this. They make towns sick. It ain't safe to stay right.
Every nation in every region now has a decision to make. Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists. 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 Terrorists.
Good afternoon, everybody. Earlier today, I was briefed by my Homeland Security team on the events in Boston.
I was walking down Hazel Street, and a cop pointed at me, and then SWAT in, and then SWAT came and picked me up by a shield, and they threw me in the back of a car, and then dropped me off in the middle of Newton.
A remarkable piece of video, and I should point out that it was provided to ABC News.
We must speak the truth about terror. Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th. Malicious lies that attempt to shift the blame away from the terrorists themselves, away from the guilty. To inflame ethnic hatred is to advance the cause of terror. The war against terror must not serve as an excuse to persecute ethnic and religious minorities in any country.
So what did I think? I figured, fuck it, while I'm at it, why not just shoot my buddy? Take his job, give it to his sworn enemy, hike up gas prices, bomb a village, club a baby seal, hit the hash pipe, and join the National Guard. Be elected president.
The hate of men will pass and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish.
In the past, this country has always prided itself on the personal freedom and constitutional rights of the individual. And oddly enough, it still does today, despite the fact that the U.S. currently ranks 41st according to the 2016 World Press Freedom Index and 11th on the Heritage Institute's 2016 Index of Economic Freedom, behind countries such as Singapore, Hong Kong, and Chile. However, the facts have yet to stop the government, or rather the faction that co-opted the government, from carrying out its will and broadcasting whichever story reinforces that will. From lying about attacks and epidemics to fabricating them altogether, what this country once could have been is simply no longer present, where sadly it truly counts within the government, save for a brave few. But the people remain, and that American dream still resides within their hearts and longs to be realized. Regardless of whether that dream was ever truly seen to fruition, or if it was sabotaged by some of the very men who took part in its creation, it has taken root in the very foundation that holds this broken country together. It has become eternal. It prevails within the deep-seated beliefs of that which makes this country truly powerful, its people. Those who have participated in this fabrication are terrified that the people will once and for all see through the lie and find the sinister reality behind. And that is indeed what we are witnessing in real time, as Americans finally begin to wake up to this gross manipulation. This awakening has been a long time coming and was brought on by many different occurrences. Yet the one event that was always meant to reinforce the citizens' blind faith and dedication to the system, the election process, has, much to the establishment's dismay, become the largest awakening event in American history. People are being hyper-exposed to the true nature of the government and those who have complete control over its actions, thanks almost entirely to WikiLeaks and those who anonymously leaked the information. From blaming the Russians with zero evidence and pitting Americans against each other with race, religion, and political standing, to the classic lesser of two evils ploy, this entire election has, weirdly enough, turned into one of the most important things that could have happened to the individual, as it shook us all out of complacency to see the true level of corruption operating right beneath our noses, while being told that we are living the dream. However eye-opening this election has been, the awakening of the individual does not necessarily do much to stop this warmongering empire. Yet we are now aware, and that has power, and the world will recognize. So we press on and spread the word and hold out hope that those brave few within will join us in reviving that dream thriving within us all and set things in motion that will revitalize this country. And in fact, something that is happening right this moment. And we will break down that and much more as we discuss the 2016 selection process. To begin, I'd like to start off by discussing a study that, wildly enough, has not gotten much attention since its release. Now, something like this would only truly be ignored by a willfully uninformed populace. This study actually quantifies the irrelevancy of the American public in regards to their influence on government and its policy. Researchers at Princeton University looked at more than 20 years worth of data to answer a pretty simple question. Does the government represent the people? Now, this is something that all of us have felt in recent years, that our will is not necessarily being seen to fruition. As the majority will of the American populace, that is something that our politicians are required to follow. However, it's not happening. Now, this Princeton study broke this down into a very easily understandable graph that quantifiably shows that we have no influence over what actually happens in this country. So check it out.
This axis here represents public support for any given idea. On the left, at 0%, are ideas that not a single American wants. On the right, at 100%, are ideas that everyone supports. This axis represents the likelihood of Congress passing a law that reflects any of these ideas, from a 0 to a 100% chance. On this graph, an ideal republic would look like this. If 50% of the public supports an idea, there's a 50% chance of it becoming law. If 80% of us support something, there's an 80% chance. You get the idea. Now, most Americans would probably agree that, with a few exceptions, we should be as close to this ideal as possible. Unfortunately, the way America actually works doesn't even come close. Take an idea that nobody supports, literally nobody, and it has about a 30% chance of becoming federal law. Now, take an incredibly popular idea, the most popular idea this country has ever seen, and there's also about a 30% chance of it becoming law. This means that the number of American voters for or against any idea has no impact on the likelihood that Congress will make it law.
But let's put that another way. And I'll just take this quote directly from the Princeton study. Literally quote, it says, "The preferences of the average American appear to have only a minuscule, near zero, statistically non-significant impact on public policy." So if you ever felt like your opinion doesn't matter, and that the government doesn't really care what you think, you're right. But there's a catch.
This flat line only accounts for the bottom 90% of income earners in America. Economic elites, business interests, people who can afford lobbyists, they get their own line. Look at how much closer their line is to the ideal. When they want something, the government is much more likely to do it. And when they don't, they have the power to completely block it from happening, no matter how much the rest of the country supports it. They get what they want, and guess who ends up paying for it?
We pay for it. With the most expensive healthcare in the world. We pay for it with the tax code that's a complete mess. We pay for it with internet that is slower and more expensive, with wasteful spending, a floundering education system, a catastrophic drug war, and 1 in 5 American children born into poverty. Almost every major issue we face as a nation can be traced back to that graph. So how does this happen? Lobbyists. Lobbyists are something that people don't really truly know enough about in this country, and really all it breaks down to is legalized bribery. You basically have representatives of businesses that are allowed to lobby on behalf of their business, which basically breaks down to giving money to politicians to make things go the way they want them to. Now, it is an oversimplification, but that's literally what it is. What you will find is that they will manipulate policy based on who pays them the most. Now, really, this has been in the news about Clinton's, you know, pay for play scandal, and we're seeing this all throughout our politics in this country, and it's a very rampant problem. And the reason that this graph and this study is as vivid and obvious as it is because lobbyists make sure that ultimately, big business gets what they want when it comes to policy in this country. An American majority will plays, like the study said, a statistically insignificant factor. I mean, that's crazy to think about. I mean, but knowing that what we really think and who and what we vote for quantifiably and mathematically has a zero effect on the outcome, which is actually now a verifiable fact thanks to this study, why do we continue to participate? This would be a point where people get angry or call names, conspiracy theorist or un-American, all for striking at their foundation that is unfortunately built on lies. And that shakes people and shakes them to the point to where they will refuse to acknowledge the reality that contradicts their beliefs, regardless of the presented proof. And I should remind everyone that this study was conducted by Princeton University. And if we've reached a point where institutions like this that were once relied upon for their integrity and principled research for the greater good are now dismissed the moment they touch specific topics such as this, regardless of their findings, then cognitive dissonance is in full effect. So considering all this, let's discuss the lesser of two evils ploy that has swept much of those still desiring to vote in this country. It's a ploy that we're all familiar with, that we've seen on every mainstream station, that essentially makes the case that if you were to vote for anyone other than these two candidates, your vote would cease to count, which is absurd. Every American is enlisted at a young age in this country and told their vote matters, that even one vote can make a difference. Yet that entire mantra came crashing down this election season when all were told that their vote would only truly matter if and when they voted for one of two pre-approved state-sponsored candidates. And we're told that this would be democracy at its finest. There's intentionally manipulated polls are being thrown out and convincing people that their third-party vote would indeed not count. Yet despite proof of these manipulations, many continue to fulfill their programming and plan on voting right in line with their party, even though these parties at this point don't really exist anymore. To compare those parties with what they were 50 years ago are almost non-existent. They've completely crossed over each other, but they continue to stay with those party names because they convince people that they should vote for them based solely on that name, which is also ridiculous. I mean, consider for a moment the previous claim, of which there's ample proof. These manipulated polls have been proved by WikiLeaks and of multiple other outlets. Knowing that the polls being broadcasted by mainstream media are falsified in order to give you, the voter, the impression that the majority is voting for either Clinton or Trump. Consider for a moment the possibility that the actual majority could in fact be voting for someone else, and most likely are, or there'd be no reason to falsify these polls. You then dutifully go off and cast your vote reluctantly for the lesser of two evils, still convinced by the onslaught of propaganda telling you that the age-old adage, every vote counts, only applies when you stay within party lines. Then consider that your one vote, as misguided and manipulated as it may be, could in fact be the winning vote that steals away the presidency from a potentially more deserving, better suited, and morally sound third-party option. And all you had to do was vote for who you believed in. Ultimately, to allow the media to control your perceptions of what is and is not possible in the current election, or what will or will not count based on the current standings, will only lead you to settle for what seems plausible, to vote for their selection, and not for the candidate you truly feel will rescue the American we once knew. So I ask you today, with this nation's future hanging in the balance, I plead with you today to look into your heart and cast your November vote for the candidate you genuinely feel will lead this country into a time of prosperity and change, one who will put the people back in their rightful place as the leaders of this nation. Do not fall for the lesser of two evils ploy. Follow your heart and do what you know to be right. There's no other path to take at this point. Every choice other than that, I would consider un-American. I mean, it's, you know, that word gets thrown around a lot in this kind of, especially in recent years. But the idea that we are being told to vote for anyone other than who we truly believe in is outrageous. But we've somehow been manipulated into believing that anything other than that is a wasted vote. And that's a true shame. And I get it. I see where the logic lies in that. You don't want to feel like your vote is wasted, or you don't want to feel like your vote would be a vote given to somebody else that you don't believe in. But you need to follow your heart. That's the only way this country has survived, is by following your heart and doing what you know to be right. And that's voting for who you believe in. I mean, it comes down to the fact that in this country, really asking the question, does your vote even really matter? I mean, this Princeton study has shown that ultimately it really doesn't on that one point. However, there's many other points that would make the argument that it doesn't matter in other ways. such as the voting machines being manipulated. They've been proven time and time again. Princeton also did another study where they proved that they could hack into these machines in under 7 minutes. There was a gentleman that testified in front of the Supreme Court saying that he was paid to manipulate the machines in the past, yet nothing ever happened. The point is that these machines are manipulated. It's happened. It's been proven. And they're going to be manipulated. We're going to see it happen. I mean, that's business as usual for politics in this country. But knowing that, and knowing the Princeton study shows that what you want doesn't matter anyway, there's also another aspect at play. Like we mentioned earlier on, there are multiple people that are coming out and claiming that there's actually a coup taking place in the country right this moment. Now, not a coup in the traditional sense of the word, but rather a coup or a divide between the Washington elites. There's a gentleman that actually came out recently and claimed that a former British ambassador is saying the sources of the Podesta leaks are coming from within Washington, not from Russia or from anywhere else. To take that one step further, there's a gentleman by the name of Steve Pizniak, Dr. Steve Pizniak, who is a psychiatrist who has over 20 years experience in resolving international crises for four U.S. administrations. And he is now claiming that that coup is taking place between the Washington elites, and that what we're seeing coming from WikiLeaks is actually at behest of this group. They are pushing this information out through WikiLeaks to push the Clintons out of the way. And we can all see why that's important. This guy, this gentleman, Dr. Steve Pizniak, was Deputy Assistant Secretary of State under Henry Kissinger. His expertise includes foreign policy, international crisis management, and psychological warfare. He served the presidential administrations of Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, and George H.W. Bush in the capacity of Deputy Assistant Secretary. He's been explaining that it's not the Russians who provided the information and that U.S. intelligence offered data to Julian Assange directly. The counter coup is currently working against the Clintons and her campaign entirely. And this goes a long way in understanding what's truly going on in this country. When we break down everything we've been seeing, all the different divides we've been seeing, I mean, even from interactions in foreign policy, where we see factions of different rebels fighting each other from Pentagon and CIA. Now, I can't vouch for the fact that that's directly related to what this gentleman is saying, but it all makes sense. We've been seeing a lot of divide from within. And I would like to believe that there are people within our own government that are still fighting for what we believe this country to be. And that's a slim shot. There's probably not that many of them, because you have to be an insider to really make it in politics in this country. But there are people such as Ron Paul that are standing up and speaking out about everything that we know to be true. And the establishment is pushing it down, just like he did when he ran for president. At the end of the day, what this tells us is that these WikiLeaks, these revelations that we've been seeing, are no doubt true. No one has yet to claim that they are untrue outside of Donna Brazile, who was then proven to be wrong by those same WikiLeaks. However, no one is proving, or rather, no one is saying that these emails are falsified. All they're simply doing is pivoting to Russia. So it's saying, don't mind the man behind the curtain, focus on the Russians. But the point is that the, you know, what are they claiming about the Russians? That they're influencing the election with the truth? It's ridiculous. The point is they're coming out with information that opens Americans' eyes to the reality behind the politics in this country. And all they're trying to do is shift to focus on some archaic concept of the Cold War to scaremonger people into forgetting about the reality. And it's really opening people's eyes. I mean, we're seeing an unprecedented awakening happening in this country right now due to all this information. And it would really make sense if this coup does take place, that the right people could potentially take over. But that's kind of wishful thinking at the end of the day. It also could be a negative. It could be going the wrong direction, shifting to a whole nother totalitarian rule. But we can only hope. At the end of the day, all we need to do is recognize that this election process, or rather selection process, is a fraud. And that all they're trying to do is get Hillary Clinton in position. That's all this entire movement has been. I mean, you could make arguments about Donald Trump as well. There were WikiLeaks that showed that Donald Trump's name was on a short list of people the Clinton Foundation, or rather the Clinton campaign, thought to be the best people to run against her to win. Doesn't mean that she forced him into running, but it does mean that he could have been. And it would make sense when you realize a lot of the things that have been going on. People also make the argument that it's possible Donald Trump was made to run and then turned to fight against them, maybe at the behest of this group within Washington. Nobody knows. I mean, this is the stuff that we'll only find out as time goes on. But at the end of the day, we need to wake up to the fact that this election is a ploy. It is a fraud. our vote will not come to matter. The end result will not matter based on what our vote is. And I know that's a hard thing to take down. Most Americans are, if you're listening to this, you're probably shocked. But it's based on research and the right information, it's a pretty clear picture. And you could take this back to any other election in history. I mean, really the best example that I always try to make is the comparison between Obama and Trump. Because when Obama ran, it was all lofty promises of hope and change. And when he had the exact kind of excited following as Trump has right now. And we all know how that turned out. I mean, you could make the argument that Obama's two presidencies or two terms have been the worst in American history. I mean, it's an argument, it's debatable for sure. But he has failed to produce everything that he laid out that was which was entirely how he got people to follow him. All of his lofty promises. Now, Trump is saying the same type of things, completely whitewashing politics and changing Washington from the inside out. And it does sound good. We all want that. But will it really happen? One can hope. I truly hope if he does get elected, that's what he really wants to do. Sadly, I don't think so. It just doesn't ring true to me. But let's hope. Moving on to the next topic, there's another aspect to this whole story that plays into all of this, and that's today, there was a recent release of a new Julian Assange interview with RT, and it's quite damning. I mean, at the end of the day, this interview goes through every single thing that they've been talking about, every WikiLeak, everything that Clinton has actively denied, and really lays it on the table. He's interviewed by Australian journalist and documentary maker John Pilger. This interview goes on to really break out everything that they've been talking about, from Clinton's connections to ISIS and how it was founded, to the pay-to-play scheme. I mean, everything we've been hearing and literally everything Clinton has been denying, or rather shifting to Russia. And it even addresses the fact that Russia was simply not the source of the leaks. Assange does not go on to claim, per se, that it was from these Washington insiders that Dr. Pozniak is claiming. However, you get that, and he's quite clear about the fact that the Russians had nothing to do with this. And he makes the amazing point that they have released over 800,000 documents pertaining to Russia specifically. You know, to make the claim that he's in league with Russia somehow is absurd. However possible it could be, I find it to be quite absurd. But this interview, I will make sure and leave it in the show notes for you to check out. It is absolutely imperative that you guys go and listen to this whole, it's a 25-minute interview, and it breaks down everything. From the fact that the allegations in Sweden were completely falsified and he's been proven that it's not the case. Even the woman spoke out, said the police forced her to say it. Yet we still continue to hear that he's a criminal in USA, that the Western media continues to frame him as some kind of a deviant or active criminal hiding from police. And that's wrong. I mean, that's fundamentally incorrect. But we don't hear this because the Western media has a complete stranglehold on what we see, hear, and believe. And this is something that we need to understand, that they will actively manipulate everything that we see to keep us in the right direction. I mean, that's how the entire lesser of two evils ploy has been working, is that they manipulate people's beliefs, good people who are simply just trying to fulfill what they believe to be their patriotic duty. Yet they've been lied to. I mean, you know, like we said earlier, I mean, think about the fact that if your vote actually swayed it to Hillary Clinton or to Trump, when in reality, you wouldn't want either one of them. I know that none of you want either one of them. I know this. We've done multiple polls, and the vast majority of people that we speak with do not want either candidate. Sadly, at least half of them are still going to vote for one of them. I plead with you, please do not fall to that route. It is a game, it is a trick, and it will lead us in the wrong direction. Let's move on to some current events. So first, I'd like to talk about an article that seems pretty relevant with what we've been talking about today. And this is the fact that the so-called anti-establishment Trump is planning to appoint Goldman Sachs and George Soros insider. And this is quite frustrating for a lot of his followers and a lot of people that were beginning to see him as what they were painting him as. At the end of the day, Trump is literally the opposite of anti-establishment. He is an establishment candidate. He is the definition of an establishment candidate. He has connections to all the right people. He is a billionaire working with these businesses, donating to the political parties. And now he is literally appointing a Goldman Sachs, an ex-George Soros insider, as his Secretary of Treasury. Now, honestly, I asked myself, why is he revealing this before the election when he doesn't have to. It seems contrived to me. It's interesting. But at the end of the day, this goes against everything he's claiming. I literally just saw an ad today where he's preaching about how we're going to change the inside. But this is the exact opposite of that message. And that's very frustrating. But at the same time, you could make the argument that this does not necessarily say or point to the fact that he is not anti-establishment. He could just simply be aligning himself with all the right people like he's been claiming, and that this gentleman will ultimately do what Trump says, and we have to hope that Trump will ask him to do the right things. But at the end of the day, this guy that he's appointing is a literal establishment person. And then we have to take into the account Mr. Pence, who is his running mate, who is like the definition of a conservative Republican. He is the biggest party insider. And to me, that's Trump aligning with the party. When this whole thing started, Trump was acting anti-establishment. Sanders was acting anti-establishment. And I believe that both of them, to some degree, believed in their message. And obviously, we saw what happened with Sanders, which is criminal. He was completely cheated out of what he should have been doing. But maybe he was a plant from the get-go. The fact that he threw him with Clinton was pretty disappointing to a lot of people. But when we saw Trump rising up to fill that anti-establishment role, and I think that at some point along the line, he realized that he really wanted to win, and he threw him with the party, gave up on that dream. And that's really sad if he ever meant to do it in the first place. But so now what we're seeing is, this is only one move. So it really is not definitive at this point, but it's a bad sign. It really is a big red flag for thinking that he's going to be the opposite of what his entire campaign has represented. So we need to keep an eye on this. Pay attention. It's only a few more days to vote. And again, I constantly advocate for third party or abstention. I believe that is the best route, but that's my opinion. At the end of the day, you need to vote for who you truly believe in. And if you do that, I will support that, whether that be Clinton or Trump or nobody or third party. That's something you need to think about. Moving on to the next one. This is a big story that you've no doubt heard. The U.S. military just hacked into Russia's entire infrastructure, prepping for massive cyber attack. Now, remember, the entire idea of Russia influencing our election is false. There is zero proof to back that up. Julian Assange himself has talked about how it's a lie. We have insiders claiming that it's coming from Washington itself. We have Pezniak saying that it's coming from a coup inside Washington. I mean, the entire concept of Hillary's 17 agencies that claim that Russia was involved is a complete fabrication. Do the slightest amount of research yourself and you'll come to find that out. There's only a few different groups that have claimed that what happened is similar to the way Russia would have done something, and that's it. There is no proof to back this up. But like we've said, the point is to pivot to Russia to stop you from focusing on the real facts, the real revelations about how our government operates. Now, so what this is saying is that now one of two things is happening. Either the U.S. military literally just hacked into Russia's infrastructure and the Kremlin and is planting spyware, or whatever they were doing, some kind of cyber attack or cyber terrorism, which is literally what that is, for essentially a preemptive defensive attack or whatever the, contradictive term they want to use, with the intention of getting things ready for if Russia does attack or try to influence the election or whatever absurd claim they're making. Or they made it all up to reinforce the lie, which I personally think that's the case. I think that they made all this up and put this out in the news. Because really, why would they put this out in the news? Why would they broadcast this out? Why wouldn't they keep it secret so they could attack Russia if they really wanted to? They put it out in the news so people would see it and it would reinforce the lie. Well, the U.S. military would never risk a war just to, continue a lie. Yes, they would. It's exactly what's happening, or rather what I think is happening. But do the research for yourself. I mean, the idea that Russia is behind any of this, we know to be a lie. So this either means that they blindly believe their own propaganda, or they're making this up to further the lie. And that really does make sense. But this is pretty dramatic. I mean, think about the implications of this on foreign policy. I mean, Putin lining with China and Iran is a pretty dangerous person. And we're now poking the bear. And I mean, this is the idea why people say that a vote for Clinton is a vote for war. And this is the claim they tried to make where Putin is speaking out saying that a vote for Clinton is a vote for war. And they spin that to make it sound like it means that I'm going to attack America if Clinton gets elected, which is ridiculous. What he is telling Americans is that if you vote for Clinton, she's going to start a war. And Putin has been active about speaking out saying, I am not going to attack anyone. He's trying to get ahead of this entire lie, which doesn't mean necessarily that he is telling the truth. Every country has propaganda. Every country tries to manipulate. But based on everything we've seen through WikiLeaks and all of this, it seems pretty clear that we're being manipulated as the American public, and everybody sees it. You listen to any other news in any other part of the world, and it is completely contradictory to what we're being told in this country. You could tell yourself that means that we're the only ones in the right, but that would be the American way at this point, but that's not the truth. That's the age-old idea that, you know, what's more likely, that you're right and everyone else is wrong, or the reverse? I mean, it's pretty common to make that assumption, but we need to realize that what's going on in the world does give us a pretty good insight on what's happening in our country, especially because we have our fingers tied up in everything from hundreds of bases across the world in countries that we shouldn't be in, from attacking countries we've never declared war on. We are currently, right this moment, bombing 7 different countries. Probably didn't know that, but we are. That's pretty outrageous, especially when we consider that probably more than half of them are, we have not officially declared war on, and the ones we have, we never fully got approval from Congress. So all of it's unconstitutional, and it also goes against the UN Charter. So it's also illegal in the worldwide eyes. So that's crazy. What we're doing is wrong in any way you spin it, but we're told it's for the greater good. Forcefully spreading democracy. That makes a lot of sense. Moving on to the next one in the news. This is one that everyone's been involved in. And I've actually just heard today that there are a lot of famous people, a lot of stars going out here now to the Dakota Access Pipeline to get involved. And what they are doing, I think it was the cast of the Avengers, or some of them, are now out there standing with the Dakota Access Pipeline protesters, the water protectors. This is a story that's very relevant, that is not getting any coverage in the mainstream media, or very little. What's basically happening, the story is being spun to make it seem as if these protesters are violent, that they are lighting fires and shooting people and doing all kinds of crazy things. But the reality behind this is that the U.S. government is violating a treaty that was cast in the early 1900s with the Sioux tribe. And they are now reneging on this and trying to take this land back for this pipeline, which is going through the largest water reservoir in this country. Knowing how many times these pipelines break and leak, that's outrageous. And then they're trying to stop it. That's why they're calling themselves water protectors. The story in the news today is the fact that members of the police force that are out there turning in their badges rather than inciting violence against Standing Rock protesters. I mean, that's very profound to think about. I mean, at the end of the day, we always say that the last American vagabond. You have to understand that these police, these are average men that have just been manipulated, convinced by their own propaganda to think they're serving the greater good. And that's what we need to do, is understand that and reach them on some level, like these gentlemen were. They realized what they were doing was wrong, and they threw down their badge. I mean, that's amazing. That gives me chills just thinking about the fact that these men were so profoundly touched by what's happening there, or rather upset by what they were being told to do, that they threw their job away to stand with these people. I mean, there are people, there are military members walking around with upside down flags, walking with them. I mean, the flag, that's debatable on whether you think that's the right thing to do. But the fact that we have military members walking with these people saying that this is the only time they've ever truly fought for the greater good, that says a lot. I mean, this entire situation is outrageous from what we're seeing. I mean, we have journalists being shot with rubber bullets. We have Derek Brose, who was literally sprayed with mace right in the face after he told them he was a journalist. I mean, it's outrageous. I mean, you can see that what they're trying to do is keep a silence on this entire thing. And it's gotten out of control. We know now what's really going on, and it's important that we spread the word, that we share what's actually happening with people who are manipulated by the mainstream media. I mean, anyone that's within range needs to go out and help support them. And this is what needs to be happening. We need to stand together with these kind of protests that truly, truly show what this country is supposed to be about. And what they are doing is literally what we should be doing as a country. Or rather, what our government should be doing. I mean, what we're seeing is a majority will. Just like we're talking about with the election, we are seeing a majority will. The majority of Americans do not want this to take place. Multiple polls have shown that. Yet the government doesn't care. They don't care what the majority wants. They want this to happen because their corporate constituents, their corporate sponsors are paying for it. And like we've shown in the Princeton study, money dictates all. And that's what we're seeing today. It's pretty depressing, but spread the word, get it out there. It's something that everyone needs to know about. Well, let's move on to some conspiracy freestyle. Okay, let's see what we got here today. Okay. Hey, New World Order. All right. That's a good one, actually. I'm pretty sure we could probably relate any conspiracy back to the kind of stuff we talk about on this show. But New World Order is a good one. I don't think we've ever touched on it before. I mean, that's something I would venture a guess that everyone's pretty familiar with today. But the idea of it is something that's also pretty strongly misunderstood. I mean, you know, it's this kind of shadowy figure that people talk about. And you know, what really happens is it's cast as this wild conspiracy theory. And anyone listening to the show is well aware that conspiracy theory does not mean not true. It just means it's what the government doesn't want you to look at. But, you know, not in every case, but a lot of the ones we've shown or revealed as true were once called wildly crazy. Now, the idea of this New World Order has been actively spoken about from people like Ronald Reagan, George Soros. I mean, they've actively spoken out and said the words New World Order, which doesn't necessarily mean it means what we think it means, but it does show you that the idea is something that's actually happening. And what they're trying to accomplish is a worldwide government. And in some degree, that does sound like a good idea when we consider what's going on in the world. We want more protection, more, but at the end of the day, it comes down to more government control. And we've seen how that works out. In a perfect world, if we could trust these people to fulfill what we truly want to happen, then maybe a global government would be a good thing. But we've shown that that does not happen. Government in itself is something that we do not need. And that's obviously really hard to sell. It's really hard to change, especially with the way that we're set up in this country. But to set up a worldwide government at this point would give the government ultimate control over everything. And that's what they're trying to accomplish. And you could tie New World Order in with all of these different groups, whether they be, you know, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers. And, you know, basically what the New World Order is a grouping of elitists that want more power over everything. I mean, they already have control over just about everything in this country. We've seen that from banking industry to, you know, we've seen Soros literally dictating what happens in this election. So this New World Order is not an imaginative thing. And we've seen from the UN claiming their new universal agenda, which is basically another way of saying New World Order. And the UN is all tied up in this. So really, at the end of the day, what it is a very real faction of people that are trying to basically co-opt the world into their own power. And we're seeing it in real time. I mean, you know, the fact that, I mean, they're speaking out about it now only because it's something that seems like a good idea based on what's happening in the world. And then you could make the argument or even literally show proof that what's happening in the world when it comes to ISIS or anything like this is created by the Western factions between Saudi Arabia and the United States. And what we're doing is literally creating chaos. You never heard of the Hegelian dialectic? It means problem, reaction, solution. They create something that they have to come in and fix, or rather they create something, they wait for the people to react to it, and then they come in with a solution. And it seems as if they're saving the day, when in reality, it was something they orchestrated from the very beginning, which is exactly what we're seeing. I mean, our foreign policy is completely lied about. Everything we're doing, or rather everything we're told we're doing outside of this country, you could make the argument is completely false, or rather their intentions are not what we're being told. But the New World Order is something that's very real, and it's something I highly recommend you all look into. It's, you know, really it's something we should do an entire show on, and maybe we will. But what it should show you more than anything else is that a lot of these things that we're told are false, or we're told are not true, or we're told are wild conspiracy theories, are truly things that we should look into. Whether that be 9/11, Building 7, all these different things that we talk about that are still labeled conspiracy theory, even though there's a multitude of proof to each one of these, it's something that you need to dig on. Do your own research. Don't be swayed by the propaganda. Because at the end of the day, it is only us that has the power to really change things in this country and the world, the people. At the end of the day, we are the ones that control where we go if we truly stand together and make a difference, if we truly are on the same page as the American populace. But it's a very hard thing to accomplish, which is why we're speaking out, which is why we're spreading the things that we are, because we want you to be informed. We want you to wake up to everything that's happening. And I think that most of you are. It's pretty clear that more people than ever are awakening to the corruption, to the collusion, to the downright ridiculous propaganda that is spread as factual news. You are waking up, and it inspires me. So don't stop. Don't give up. Keep pushing forward, and always follow the change, be the change.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed.